All right, guys, this is part two of my interview with Stutzy. We talk about him finding CWF through Grant, and we talk about his early years and a rival group that I didn't know about, and some of his struggles in getting to be to the point of being the booker. We'll probably throw part three on the next episode, and that'll be paired with my second guest, and I'll get more into that after this interview. So enjoy the second part of my interview with Brad Stutz, CWF Worldwide lead announcer and the creative head of CWF Mid-Atlantic down in Gibsonville, North Carolina. So what are your first memories of CWF? Because CWF existed, but for people who don't know, Stutzy didn't start CWF.
No.
Nor do you own CWF.
No.
So,
if anyone from the government's listening, my name's on anything. No,
so how did you, what are your earliest memories of it? Because I've seen video of Nick Richards versus Trevor Lee when they were like babies at some pavilion.
They look like the Muppet babies compared to now.
Yeah, and
compared to full size Muppets.
It looks like a teenage hangout, and of course there's Stutzy with a few ladies yelling, sitting at a picnic table, yelling at the ring, and you and your crew were like half the crowd.
We found those girls because they were vloggers before vloggers was a thing. They were going to the shows in Raleigh, and then they would go back to their dorm room, and they would set up a webcam, and they would review the shows. And I was just like, that's dope. I'm going to create a role for these girls.
So how do you first remember finding it? And what did you think?
The first time I remember finding it, actually, is Grant. Grant would just pimp their stuff out relentlessly. There used to be a message board called Woo Wrestling.
Al Getz?
Yes, okay. Al Getz. That was when I first saw it, and I thought it was weird because I had been going to independent shows in and around North Carolina since 1994. I had not heard of these people who Grant was pimping having all these great matches. And it opened my eyes to how segmented independent wrestling is, even just in the state of North Carolina. Because as it turned out, I didn't know the North Carolina guys. I knew the Greensboro guys. And there was a whole other crew in Raleigh that I didn't know. And there was a whole other crew in Western North Carolina that I didn't know. And there was a whole other crew beyond Raleigh and like Wilmington, Shallotte that I didn't know. Who are these people that are running these shows? Surely I know all the independent wrestlers. I've been around for, 10 years or whatever at this point, and I didn't. So Grant was pimping these matches of like Michael Yamaha against Gemini Kid, later morphed into Coach Gemini. I wasn't against CWF, but I was just kind of like, these are just these guys off running this thing. These are my people that I hang out with. Over here, and just slowly the reputation of CWF started to grow, and they kind of, more and more people that I knew were signing up. And so I said, I should probably sign up too. I started ring announcing in January of 2001. I started taking bumps and physically training in November of 2001. Took my first bump the day of the Survivor Series that was in Greensboro. And then I started with CWF in January of 2002. I'd been around the business since I was 10 years old, but I'd been in the business about a year. I know, it just opened my eyes that there were guys I didn't know. And that there was, because there was a great little loop of independent wrestling here in the 90s, in the 90s, that was like Burlington, Greensboro, High Point, Thomasville. What if you've ever been through North Carolina, what they call the triad. And it just didn't occur to me that there was wrestling in Raleigh that we weren't hearing about or going to, or that there was wrestling in Wilmington that we weren't hearing about or going to. So it opened my eyes to a lot of these guys we didn't know that we just never crossed paths with.
You ended up being the booker, which is a term that we still use, but you're the person.
Somewhat an outdated term. Yeah,
yeah, which is unfortunate, but that's we were talking about that off air about the things changing.
And if you'd have known me in 2002, there's no way you would have ever thought I would end up in the position that I'm at. Because I was a little punk kid. I was 18 years old. thought I knew everything. And I was never disrespectful. I want to make that abundantly clear. And it drives me crazy when people are disrespectful now, because I firmly believe in respecting the people that have come before you. I have done things on shows that I personally disagreed with because people that have been doing this longer than me, you know, I took their word, I took their recommendation to do them. So I'm a big, big, big believer in respecting the vets, no matter what. I want to make that clear. I was never intentionally disrespectful, but I was just gung-ho. I was ready to take on the world and whatever, and I got a lot of heat. My mouth got me in trouble a lot, because at 18, as a manager, not a worker, quote-unquote, I had opinions, and I shared them, and I didn't really care what anybody else thought, so I took some heat for a while and kind of got put in the doghouse for, a few years, honestly. There was a lot going on at the time. We had a rival group that no one ever talks about. A fan that came to shows decided he was going to start up. This is 100% true story. He decided he was going to start up Carolina Wrestling Entertainment. I would not even call it a wrestling war. There was this little scuttlebutt between the two groups for a little while. And
you guys would see each other at the local mall and switchblades and bomber jackets.
No, the weird part was the other group used more of my friends than were at CWF at the time.
Okay.
Because my friends were like the Dawsons and Casey McKnight, who's now Scott Dawson, and Charlie Dreamer. And those were my friends, and they were on the other side because I did not have the influence to exert to bring them to CWF. At the time, we were the only ones that crossed the line. We would go first or second at CWF, and then I would go across town to the Armory and visit my friends. And I never appeared, I think I did one, but I never really appeared quote unquote on camera for them. But I would go visit my friends. I never once thought about jumping to the other side or not being around.
I was going to ask you. Maybe this isn't for me. Move
because
on.
Because I always had the belief, and maybe this is my arrogance or whatever, but I always had the belief, because I knew wrestling and I knew I had stuff to bring to the table. I always had the belief if I stuck around long enough and kept my nose reasonably clean, not crystal, but reasonably clean, eventually they would turn to me. That was always my belief. And that's pretty much what happened. There were years that I was unhappy at CWF. But I stuck with it because it was still the place to be. And that's tough for a lot of people. There are a lot of people who don't work here now because they didn't have that mentality. They did not have the mentality of they were like, okay, well, I'm not happy. I'm going to go someplace else, which is fine. But you going someplace else doesn't make this any less the place to be. If you want to be where everything's happening, just kind of put your head down and do what they ask of you. Every single Saturday, I would say to myself, I'm going to run this one day. I rebooked every show I've ever been on since day one. I was just like, I would do this instead. This is how I would do it, because it's what I always wanted to do. And there was political nonsense. There was all kinds of stuff that went on, and I just kind of stayed the course and had the thought that eventually they'll turn to me and I'll get to do this myself. So my plan worked.
So that was the second part of the interview. There's just a little bit more to go that I thought would be interesting. Stutzy requested that I kind of cut it up. He did reiterate several things, but there's a lot of good stuff in there that I left in, partially just because I think sometimes when he rephrases things and it doesn't cut together, it's still a really interesting conversation and reassessment of what he had said a moment earlier. So next week I'll give you the last little bit, so that'll be part three of Stutzy's interview. We'll finish that up, and then my next guest will be Cecil Scott, the color commentator and former wrestler for CWF Mid-Atlantic, color commentator of CWF Worldwide. I was lucky enough to hang out with him, and really lucky because that man saved my butt more times that week just by letting me sleep on the couch and help me set up my equipment. So I love Cecil, and I can't wait to talk to him, and you're going to hear about it next week. As always, Poddington Bear does our theme music. The music at the beginning, I should mention, is the theme music for CWF Worldwide on YouTube. Just search CWF Mid-Atlantic in the YouTube search bar and you'll find them. You can find them on Twitter. Just search the same thing, CWF Mid-Atlantic, and just go support CWF Mid-Atlantic. All right, guys, I'll talk to you next week with Stutzy and Cecil.